And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, about 4 months ago, we received a package in the mail here at Power Prophecy, and it was opened up and given to me to read. It was from a friend of mine in Washington, D.C., and this gentleman is, well, he works in the White House, and he has a job in administration, and he said to me, he had told me before that the White House was having some very critical meetings, and they were having some important people come in from, well, from all kinds of different fields and professions, very big name people, and they were meeting quite regularly, and they were developing a plan. It was a 10-year plan that would extend from 2015 to 2025. And so I don't know whether it began in 2016 to 2025 or began in 2025, which might make it a little bit more than 10 years, but it was a 10-year plan. It was an alarming plan, to be very honest with you. He gave what he gave to me on about 15 typed pages. And he had notes on the sides and so forth, you know, little handwritten notes. This was like an agenda or a map of where they were going. And it was called Vision 2025. Vision 2025. Now, after reading it and seeing what it was all about, I was extremely upset about it, very angry, because what it was our government, the Obama administration, was meeting with people. I mean, the chairman of Facebook, the chairman of all of these high-tech organizations, Intel and so forth, the heads of the National Security Administration, the CIA, the DIA, the NAACP, all of these various groups. There were many groups that I did not know. They had a list of people there that were meeting in the various areas. And many of these people I did not know, and some of them I did. They were well-known leaders in the environmental movement and religion and terrorism, counterterrorism, and the prison industry. In the media, they even had some big names in media. Had a few from the Fed Reserve, entertainment industry, quite a few there. Newspapers, and all of these people had been meeting for many, many months, and they met to map out a vision for America. Now, I had never read about this in any magazine or newspaper, never heard it mentioned at all, that all these people were meeting at the White House and deciding what would be our agenda, where America's headed in the next decade. They called it Vision 2025, but to be very honest with you, it didn't seem like they could see very clearly at all, and leading us into some very dark, dark areas. Now, I saw with all of these big name people, you know, this wasn't just a Vision 2025, it was Illuminati Vision. Now, they didn't call it that, I'm calling it that, okay? I want to make that plain, but the plan is Vision 2025. But I very quickly looked at the 15 pages, I was shocked at some of the notes that how this gentleman was able to get hold of this, I don't know, he didn't tell me, he said he was able to obtain this copy from one of the people who left it on his table, and he said they were all given clear instructions not to leave any materials behind. No note paper, no nothing. They were not supposed to leave anything behind. They were supposed to take these things with them. This man evidently cleared his stuff and maybe accidentally left it on the table. And my friend came in and saw it and picked it up, and he read it, and he saw the value of it right away, and he sent it here to Power of Prophecy. You know, many times this happens. I've gotten material from secretaries, from lower level bureaucrats. And you know, the secretaries are very important because they type up many of the documents and they know what's going on. And a good secretary, believe me, can be worth $1 million. So in any case, this is what the White House and these, I want to call them horrible people. That's what they really are. The big shots of America, all of these people, I looked at their names. I've checked it against some of my list, and they appear to all be members of the Council on Foreign Relations. About 80% of the CFR members are Jews. Many of these people were named with names like Cohen and Goldman and things like that. You could tell these were Jews, but many weren't. And little notes on the side, like, in a certain area would say, see president, or contact Yellen at FR. That means, you know, Janet Yellen at the Federal Reserve. They were going to contact her. It's amazing. Another one, you know, in the area of prison said, check with Jack, and I can't read the last name, at the prison system in New York. Others said, check with the Pentagon, so-and-so, or, you know, speak to so-and-so. And all of these were big names of people. So this is a very, I'll tell you, you're hearing this for the first time, the Vision 2025 document. Do you want to know what they plan for you and me? Do you want to know why certain areas have been mapped out, prioritized? Now, I went over it very carefully, and I spent several days with it working on it, and I determined that there was maybe more, but at least 10 points. So I call this, it's my name, that's not their name. They just call it Vision 2025, but I call it Illuminati Vision 2025. The elites, 10-point plan to reshape America and build a global bureaucratic utopia. That's what I can see out of this. They're going to reshape America. They don't like the old America. They want something new. And they have a plan, and point by point, they cover these things. And there were some areas that are like two or three areas, but they can all be grouped together. So I just counted that as one point. Okay. Race and migration seem to go together, and I put that as one point. Obamacare and money seem to go together, and I put that as one point as well. Anyway, it's the elite's 10-point plan to reshape America and build a global bureaucratic utopia. It's going to be bureaucratic. We already have a bureaucratic system, and this is going to bring us more into the morass, into the pit, the cesspool of bureaucracy. Believe me. And what was very disturbing was some of them said, I'll talk to the House Speaker about that. Or, you know, so-and-so will get with McConnell on this. That's Senator McConnell. They're saying that they're working. In many other areas, they say we're working with the Senate and the House leaders to implement this item. You know, Obamacare, it turns out that the House Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader worked with the White House secretly in meetings for 6 straight years. And out of that came Obamacare plan. Obamacare didn't just pitch this, what was it, 2,000-page plan to Congress and say, here's what I want, here's my 2,000 pages. No! Dozens of bureaucrats from the congressman's office and the congressmen themselves met at the White House and developed this hideous medical plan that changed America. They call it Obamacare. It's really the Affordable Care Act. Don't think that Paul Ryan is House Speaker and McConnell are just innocent Republicans just sitting there waiting for the president to send forth his agenda. Oh, no, 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 no. They're actively pushing the socialist changes in America. Socialist. By the way, they don't use the word communist anymore. That's metamorphosis. That's old, the old. Even Bernie Sanders running for president says, I'm a Democrat socialist. Oh, sure he is. He's a commie, a pink commie. Well, one of the things I noticed about this Illuminati Vision 2025 is it's both Republican and Democrat. If it were just the Democrats stirring up stuff and planning to shaft each one of us as citizens, I'd say, yeah, that's the left wing again. That's the liberal. That's the pinkos. That's what they want to do to us. But when I saw that the Republicans were working with them and all of these notes and all these areas, it was all Republicans and they didn't even talk about any opposition. It was as if they were both working on it. And then I looked at the names and many of them were Republicans. The neocons were very big here. Very, very big in these areas. And I realized then that the neocons, Republican and Democrat, are pushing a big agenda of war, of spying on Americans, of terrorism. They're pushing it on our heads, and we don't have any say about it. Paul Ryan knows, McConnell knows, and that's why they approved. They've got now in Congress, and it was mentioned in here in the money area, it mentioned omnibus funding, omnibus. Boy, that hit my mind real quick. What is omnibus funding? That means funding for everything. They're going to vote on that in about just another month. And they were talking about it at least 4 months ago in this Vision 2025 plan. Their plan was to put all of their projects in one big funding bill so that they wouldn't have to piecemeal it and Congress would have no opportunity to disapprove small parts of it. In fact, they mentioned in here under money, Planned Parenthood. They said, watch out for attacks by religious crazies. That's what they said. Watch out for attacks by religious crazies. And they put in omnibus funding. Oh, yeah. They're going to plan. What are they going to get? $640 million, is it, to Planned Parenthood? That's in the omnibus funding package. Now, the omnibus funding package covers 2 years. So it's everything that the insane elite won't, Republican and Democrat, for the next 2 years is going to go in this omnibus package. Then I remember reading just a couple of days ago, Congress has done the unthinkable. Now, imagine this, folks. Imagine this. I just said it's unthinkable, but you can think about it. You're smart enough. They think you're not, but you are. They think you're an idiot, but you're not. We know what they're doing to us. They actually disapprove Planned Parenthood. That's right. They disapprove Planned Parenthood. The Senate disapproved the Obamacare program. They voted it down. Did you know that, folks? Did you see that on television? Where Congress has now voted against Obamacare, against Planned Parenthood? Whoop-de-doo. Listen to me very carefully. I've told you about their scams again and again. They voted Obamacare down. McConnell did that. Can you believe that? The guy's pro-abortion, but he voted against Planned Parenthood. Wow, that's wonderful. Let's all applaud. He voted against Obamacare. I know the guy was pushing Obamacare. He met many times in the White House and secretly with his pal Obama to get Obamacare approved. And now the Senate has voted they've said no to Obamacare. Unfortunately, they wasted their time. You know why they did that? To deceive you. To deceive you and me. Now when you write to the congressman, they can say, yep, we disapproved it. We voted it down. Aren't we heroes? Oh my goodness, we're magnificent hero men. We're, you know, we're as big as the Wright brothers and Thomas Edison and all put together. No, they're not. These slimy cowards. Let me tell you what they really did. They voted these projects down. No more Planned Parenthood. No more Obamacare. Whoop-de-doo. But wait. There is the omnibus funding bill. The omnibus funding package. And next month, guess what they're going to do? They've already got it ready to go. It's a big funding package. It's the money bill. And it approves all the money that Obama wants for Obamacare. It approves all the money that Obama wants for Planned Parenthood. And they're going to keep killing those little babies. They're going to keep taking body parts away from them. They're going to try to hide it a little bit better. Tell their doctors, don't blab your mouth off. Tell them what we're doing. We'll just do it. They're going to keep killing those little babies. Keep taking their parts, selling them to these agencies. Yeah, they're going to keep doing that. Planned Parenthood is given money by the federal government to kill little babies and take the body parts and then sell them too. But wait just a minute. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I just say? You wrote your congressman. He wrote you back and said, we have just voted Obamacare out. We have just voted no to Planned Parenthood. But he knew. He knew it was an exercise in futility because at the same time, he's planning to vote for the omnibus funding bill. You know, if my kid comes to me, my teenager, and says, Dad, I'd like to drive the car tonight. And I said, well, wait just a minute. You've had three accidents recently. You had two DWIs. I let you board last week, and you said you'd bring it back by midnight, and you didn't bring it back for 3 days. I don't think I'm going to let you drive the car anymore. I want you to sit around for a couple weeks. Oh, Dad. Yeah, that's right. And then I wink at him real big. And I reach in my pocket, take out the keys, and I hand it to him. Here's the keys. Have fun, son. What do you think? What kind of dad am I? My teenage son would know I'm not serious at all. He's going to go out and get in another DWI. He's going to come back whenever he wants to. He's going to wreck my car. Why shouldn't he? There's no penalty. And I just gave him the keys to the car. And when he gets in it, he finds that the gas tank is full. He's ready to go. He's ready to go out with his friends, get soused out, take drugs, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I just told him, I'm not going to let you drive the car anymore. While I was winking at him and giving him my keys to the car. You see how duplicitous this is? Do you see how terribly deceitful this is? That's what they do all the time. Why, they voted down Obamacare, what, about 40 times now? They voted down Planned Parenthood again and again and again.
Oh, it's just terrible what they did at Planned Parenthood. And I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, and I'm not going to allow it anymore. And, you're from Planned Parenthood, you need money? Okay, here's $640 million. It's terrible.
Now, I noticed something about Protocols of Zion. Not only were these members that were at all these meetings, members of the Council on Foreign Relations, it seemed. But everything that they were talking about doing, all these ideas, and I'm going to tell you some specifics in just a minute, seemed to be, they seemed to be mentioned and talked about in an old document that I have entitled The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. That's right. Everything they talked about in one way or another is already brought up in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. If you want to know where America's going in the next 10 years, then read the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. We have that book for you. I'm going to tell you how to get it when we take a break in just a few minutes. I'll tell you how to get the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And you're going to see how filthy, dirty, deceitful these congressmen, these corporate executives, these bureaucrats are. They really are. It's all leading toward Tikkun Olam. Now, you may not know what Tikkun Olam means. It means to mend or repair. It means to restore. It is the Jewish name, the Hebrew name, for the New World Order expected when Satan makes the Jews the kings of this world. You say Satan? Yes, yes. I'm writing a new book now. It's actually already finished. I'm editing it. I hope for it to be out on 1 March, entitled The Holy Serpent of the Jews. You will be shocked to discover that they do indeed worship the Holy Serpent. Oh, you thought they worship God. Oh, no, no, no. They don't worship the Old Testament God. Jesus said, you have for worship the traditions of your elders. The traditions of your learned men, your elders. One of those is that the Jews worship the serpent. They call him the Holy Serpent. They have names for him. Did you know one of the names is Metatron? Oh, yes, Metatron. Another name is Leviathan. They have names for the serpent. And they believe the serpent will give them all of this world, all of the kingdoms of this world. Well, you know, Satan offered those to Jesus, but Jesus wouldn't have them. Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. But the Jews say, that's what we want. And Satan's going to give it to them. He tells them that they will have it. And I believe they will for a short period of time. But of course, we know what's going to happen at the end, don't we? Now, this 10-point plan to reshape America and build a global bureaucratic utopia has made me glad I'm an old man. You see, I may be dead by the time this is over. But I know one thing. I'm going to be sitting at the edge of my seat over the next how many ever years I'm living, just getting edgy and angry and frustrated and wanting to fight this. You know, I'm a fighter, friends. I'm not meant here just to sit and talk on the radio. I'm a fighter. And many people have learned that to their despair. I am a fighter. And one of the things that I fight about is injustice. Injustice. That's why I fight about the Jewish supremacy plan. It's unjust. It's not right. You see, I strongly believe that every human being is put on this earth and has an equal opportunity before God. Now, that doesn't mean he has equal opportunity for everything. There are a lot of people born very poor in villages, in towns, in the cities. It's pitiful. They have everything against them, but one thing is for them, God. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Whatever your circumstances, however you were born and raised, I want you to understand something. You have an equal opportunity to know God. To know God. And that makes all the difference. You say, well, I wasn't born rich. I wasn't born a Donald Trump. My dad didn't give me $1 million to say, go out and start a business. I didn't even have a dad, maybe. Maybe you didn't have a mom. Maybe you're an orphan. Maybe your circumstances were just really terrible. I know mine were. I know we had 6 kids. Things were pretty bad. I remember the first time that we drank milk. Well, maybe it wasn't the first. I can't remember. But I remember being about, I think, 5 or 6 years old. My dad brought home a bottle of milk he'd got from a milkman. You know, the kind of, they actually had milkmen go to houses and take milk bottles, and they would drop them off the front doors, deliver to your front door. Well, they never came to our house because we didn't have any money to pay for milk. But my dad bought a bottle of milk, about a 0.5 gallon, I suppose. And we saw him coming to the door, and our eyes got big. Remember now, there's 6 of us. Our eyes got big, and Dad says, y'all all are going to have a glass of milk. Now, we sit at the table. It's a kitchen table. We didn't really have a kitchen as such. And we got our glasses. Now, the glasses we had were from fruit jars. You know, they weren't real glass. They were glasses. But they had little rings on top, and they were from fruit jars, as we would save those. And they became our glasses. You know, you may not remember those days. And by the way, the only washcloths we had came from Duz, D-U-Z, detergent. Because it'd always be a little washcloth in every, you know, carton of Duz detergent. So we had a few washcloths, but didn't have any towels. But We would use an old shirt or a pair of pants or something as a towel. But we all sat around that table and, you know, Dad, he poured us out each a glass. So that almost took the whole half gallon. But, and we just sipped it and we just looked at each other and we just had big smiles, you know, all just sipping this milk. Now, my dad, there was a little bit of cream on the top and he said, I'm going to pour this out and we're going to use that later. So we didn't have the cream, but we had the milk. And that tasted like $1 million. Of course, I didn't have $1 million. I couldn't pay for it anyway, but it just tasted. I knew like $1 million. Should. That was my first experience with milk. We all sat around. We took about 30 minutes to drink the milk. And no one drank their milk, you know, too slow because they're afraid somebody else says, give me some of yours. We started to, you know, even it out as we went down. A lot of people don't understand that, but that's, you know, the way life was back then. And by the way, we had a dessert. The only dessert we had was my mom sometime would whip up some, I think it was chocolate gravy. That's what they call it, chocolate gravy. Maybe some of you old timers out there know about chocolate gravy. It was just gravy, but my mom would put some cocoa in it and some sugar, stir it up, and that was called chocolate gravy. I guess you'd call it pudding today, but we call it chocolate gravy, you know. Other than that, we had rice and beans. That's about it. Rice is big here in East Texas, and that's what we would have, and beans, and they would go together. Great meals every day. But listen, folks, I knew something. I knew there was always God. I knew there was always God. And I didn't think I was even poor, although I did worry about it a lot when I went to school. I didn't have any clothes, and, you know, sometimes I didn't even have a pair of socks to wear. But I knew there was a God, and I knew that God treated everybody equally. You say, well, you weren't born equally. Well, that's true. That's because of this earth. That's because of, you know, that's what Adam and Eve did. I mean, I can go into all the reasons why, but basically I knew I had an equal opportunity to know God. And after that, after I got to know God, everything went just fine. It just went just fine. I've been fine now all these years because I've known God. He's taken care of me. And I know he will take care of you too. Now, every once in a while, I've told God no. You know, I don't tell him no. I just go and do my own way. And then that doesn't work out right. Let me tell you, that does not work out right to do things your own way. Knowing the way God wants it. But anyway, maybe I'll give a talk on that sometime to you. Tell you my unpleasant experiences that happened when I told God, you know, quietly, no. It didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. Now, back to this 10-point plan. Tikkun Olam. The mending or repair of the world. Oh, yeah, they're going to make the world a great place to live, a wonderful place, a vacation place. The Jews will be our leaders, and they will kill us if we refuse to serve them. That's one of the planks in the Jewish Babylonian Talmud. By the way, it is called a Babylonian Talmud. Oh, yeah, they know where it comes from Babylon. The Babylonian Talmud says, the best of the Gentiles kill. The best of the Gentiles kill. Now, when we come back in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about this 10-point plan. I'm going to tell you the 10 points. We're not going to have time to get into each one, you know, very much, but I want to tell you the 10 points because they just amazed me. These are the things I keep hearing about on the news and the media every day. And it seems like the news media, the CNN, ABC, CBS, even Fox, seems to have these things down, and they cover one or two or three of these items every day. And that just tells you maybe they are talking points for the Illuminati elite, especially the media. I'll be right back. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Have you ever heard of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion? Well, it's a book that was published around 1905. First, it was published in the country of Russia. Turned out that the man who published it was a man named Sergius Nilus. He was a Orthodox Christian and a priest. Well, let me tell you about Mr. Nilus. He was given the protocols when a lady had visited France, and she was given a copy of them there from somebody who had visited the Grand Orient Masonic Lodge and had discovered this particular blueprint, let's just call it. And he brought it back with him to Russia, or she did, I'm sorry. And she told Sergius Nilus, the priest, "You must tell the world about this." Well, Sergius Nilus was a very poor priest, very humble, had no money, but he could write some. He wrote a book called The Big Within the Small. Now, I don't have time to tell you about the book, but I want to tell you that as an appendix to that book, he put this book in it. He put the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Now, he explained that this was the blueprint by the most powerful men and women in the world to subjugate the planet. What does subjugate mean? It means to take prisoner, to seize power. He was so shocked by this, he could tell that it was a very well-written book by some extremely brilliant minds. And it comported, in other words, it was exactly the way that he had determined the Jews were operating in the world. And so he published it. Well, just a few years later in 1917, the Jews took over Russia. That's right, Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky, and the others grabbed the power, and they began to murder and to bludgeon tens of millions of people in that country. The Christians were the ones that were most hated and most sought out, bludgeoned, and killed. Sergius Nilus was immediately fingered. He was tagged. The Jews had Sergius Nilus down as the man who had published the book they did not want published, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. He was taken before a judge, and immediately he was told, "You are the one who published this horrible book." Now, of course, this book told the truth, but that was the problem. They didn't want the truth out. "You will receive 10 years in prison." And let me tell you, my friends, 10 years in a Soviet gulag camp, a concentration camp. He was very fortunate that he was able to get out. But he spent 10 years for publishing this book. You can get it today. You don't have to go to prison for it. We're publishing it and other materials. And for $20, please add $5 for shipping and handling, for $25 total, you can have your personal copy of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. You can read it, and you can determine why they wanted to shut up Mr. Nilus. When it was first discovered, the Zionist Jews and the Freemasons together screamed and complained, "These 24 protocols are a hoax, they're a forgery, they're a blood taint against the Jews." But then came the brutal and barbaric communist Bolshevik revolution in Russia. It was led by the Jews. And you know what they did, my friends? They carried out the revolution, the Bolshevik Red Revolution, the Red Terror. Solzhenitsyn says 66 million people perished. 66 million. All the churches were shut down, except a few show places. And Christianity was, well, it was forbidden. If you held a church meeting, well, you would be arrested. You would be sent away for 10 years, for 20 years. A system of monstrous gulag concentration camps were set up. They were led by rabbis who saw that the people inside were tormented, persecuted, killed. The entire world witnessed the horrors, or at least finally did. It took many years for them to come out, for us to know the full extent of these horrors. And many people understood this is what we were told in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. You see, after Nilus had published them, a British man and the editor of one of the largest publishing companies in Great Britain read Nealis's book. And he said, this is astonishing. He took the protocols back to England, and there they were published. They caused a sensation in the world. Henry Ford, the great industrialist, read them. He said, they're true. This is what is happening in the world. It's happening in Soviet Russia today. It's exactly what is happening. The horrors that were prescribed for Russia is exactly what was going on, what was called for in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Now, here we are, about a century later, over a century, in fact, and I'm afraid what I'm talking to you about today, Illuminati Vision 2025, is about the protocols. The same things you read in the protocols is what they want to do to us. No more Constitution, no more Bill of Rights. No. They know better than we do, these Bolsheviks, these communists. The sweep of history has proven how deadly and dangerous these protocols are. Now, here at Power of Prophecy, when I discovered the protocols and I read them for myself, I wanted my good friends, you, to have them, to have a copy. But guess what? Guess what? They were not being published. They were being censored everywhere. They were being banned, boycotted from bookstores everywhere. And I made it my personal mission in life to publish this. This is the classic on international Zionism. It's got the comments by Henry Ford of the Ford Motor Company. I've written a foreword for this book, Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And for $20, I want you to have a copy of it. Now, there have been all these little bitty copies and, you know, sort of bootleg copies. But this is a great book with a beautiful cover. They told me you'll be targeted, Tex Mars. You'll be destroyed if you publish this book. Well, they haven't so far, but I'm sure they're going to try. But you can get it. It'll come to you. It's a powerful book. We sold thousands of copies. We want to sell you one too. Total of $25. That includes all shipping and handling. Please write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708-1708. Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. You can order the book there, the protocols. Or phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. And now let's return to our regular program. We're talking today about Illuminati Vision 2025. That's my name for it. I've got a 15-page typewritten paper here called Vision 2025. I gave a subtitle to that, The Elite's 10-Point Plan to Reshape America and Build a Global Bureaucratic Utopia. Now, the first of the 10 points is environmentalism. These are the things. Let me go through them real quick. There's 10 points plan. Environmentalism is first. Second is religion. Third is terrorism. Fourth is empty our prisons. Five is race and migration. Six is Big Brother spying and the military. Seven is media lies and propaganda. Eight is money matters. Nine is culture. And 10 is political correctness. These are the 10 points that are going to be pushed over the next 10 years, bringing about finally the end of national sovereignty, the end of freedom in America, and the coming of the communist system, the coming of the protocols of Zion. This first point, environmentalism. I noticed that they were discussing what they wanted to do to get climate change. First of all, they says don't use global warming. Use only climate change. Another point was when any change in the climate takes place, say it's because of climate change. Did you get that? When any change in the climate takes place, say that it's climate change. If it snows today, that's because of climate change. If it's hot today, say it's climate change. If it rains, that's climate change. If it doesn't rain, that's also climate change. So whatever happens is climate change. Who can deny that? Another area in environmentalism is use the school system. Textbooks. Get your kids textbook. It'll talk about environmentalism. It'll talk about Agenda 21. It'll talk about climate change. They have these kids wrapped so much the kids will cry in class. Oh, we're going to lose the earth. We're all going to die. It's you know, friends, there's another little item here. It says wars are caused by climate change. In other words, they're going to push wars. Any war that happens in this world is all because of climate change. The world is getting warmer. That's climate change. Every war that occurs is climate change. We're having these wars in the Middle East. It's because of climate change. Well, it was because George W. invaded. No. It was climate change. George W. didn't do anything. Well, it was because we sent bombers in and we bombed Libya. And no. It was climate change that did it. It was climate change that killed Gaddafi. It was climate change that did it all. It says use experts. A guy could go out and say, I'm a climate expert. And people will listen to him. Environmentalism is the first point. Second is religion. Now, I read this very carefully. Unity and diversity. They want to push unity and diversity. In other words, let's all get together. We're all one. All religions are from God. It doesn't matter who you worship, what you worship, when you worship. Let's just all be united. At the same time, let's all have diversity. If you're a Buddhist, I'm a Hindu, and you're a Jew, that's okay. Nobody's really right, are they? There's always errors in every religion, so just come together as one. Unity and diversity in religion. And a big item there was being pushed was end Christian exclusiveness. In other words, they want to end the – that's what Obama said at the beginning of his time in office, he said, we are not a Christian nation. Now, that's their big mantra. We are not a Christian nation. Well, 80% of Americans are Christian, say they're Christian. No. We're not a Christian nation. They say it enough, you got to believe it, don't you? We're not a Christian nation. And the very notes this person had written in, push Church of Satan. Ah, yes. That's part of the religious point. Push Church of Satan. Another item, no crosses. Check with church groups. They're checking with church. They're asking our church groups, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Southern Baptist Convention, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Episcopals. They're saying, you have crosses up that offends people. Take down your cross. Just look like a normal office building. Boy. Another item, promote Parliament of World Religion 2015. Now, I didn't even talk about the Parliament of World Religions this year. It's already over. But they said promote it. So I guess they promoted it in newspapers and such. Parliament of the World's Religions 2015. You may want to go to your Google and check that out and see what happened there. Let me know because I don't even know myself. Okay, I was too busy this year. But no crosses. You see, they don't want you to drive down a highway and see a huge cross going up, a big spire. They don't want you to think about Jesus Christ. No exclusiveness. Well, you believe in Jesus? Well, he's the same as Muhammad, isn't he? It doesn't really matter what the name of your Christ is it? In my book, Pastors of Churches Gone Wild, I talk about the Episcopal Church in Los Angeles. They had a big meeting there of Jewish rabbis and Hindu gurus and so forth. And the Episcopal bishop got up and said, we're all one. We want to apologize to our Hindu friends, to our Muslim friends, for ever saying you were wrong. We want to make amends. They want to make amends. They want to apologize for ever saying that Jesus was the one. And that's come true. That's what's happening in religion. That's what will continue to happen. Now, terrorism. Gun control is under that. Now, that's interesting. This guy wrote in gun control. Another thing written in is fast and furious promote. Fast and furious promote. You see, in fast and furious program, the Obama administration, the Department of Justice, actually took guns and took them and gave them away. Sold and gave away thousands of assault rifles. They wanted the Mexican gangs to come and bring them into America and kill people. Then when we found out they were killing people with our guns, we could say, see there? They come to America and they buy these guns. Gun control, that's what we need. More gun control. Fast and furious. They want perpetual war. That's what it says right here. Promote perpetual war. They want no end to terrorism. You know, when George W. Bush invaded Iraq, he said, this war may last for 100 years. That's what he said. 100 years. They want you to continue to fight, continue to give your blood, to give the blood of your sons, of your dads. It doesn't matter to them that thousands are slain. They love it when they kill millions. And the Jews really love it when they kill Muslims and Christians together. Empty the prisons. That's their plan. You know, I'm seeing that now. It's called prison reform. They say, we have more people in prison than any country on earth. We've got to empty our prisons. Don't fall for it, friends. Guess what? We put those people in prison for a purpose because they deserve to be there. They've broken the law. They've sold dope. They've sold cocaine, heroin. They've sold all these drugs. They're killing people with these drugs. We're going to let them out? We're going to let them out? No. But the Republicans say, oh, yes, we need to empty our prisons. The Democrats say, oh, yes, let them go. Millions. Let them go. So they can go back and join their gangs. They can go back to their cities. They can go back and rob people. They can invade houses. And they can poison people with their drugs. They say these crimes have no victims. They have plenty of victims. And let me tell you something. Almost every prisoner in a prison is not being convicted for what he really did. You know, some psychologists did a study some years back, and they found for every one crime that the guy was committed for, that every prisoner has committed at least 21 other crimes they didn't get caught for. Think about it. He's in prison for, let's say, burglary, but he's committed 21 other crimes that he didn't get convicted of. Think about that. Prisons are not full of good people, but evil people. And when they're sent by a judge and a jury, they need to stay there, my friends. You want to totally demoralize the police forces who work hard? They come up with all kind of CSI, scientific evidence to convict these cruds, and then you're going to let them go? Oh, no. But that's what the devil wants. The devil is in all these 10-point plans. In every one of these 10 points, empty the prisons. Angela Davis, the 1960s radical who was tried for murder, part of the Black Panthers, she's part of that program now. She wants to empty the prisons. She wants for radical prison reform. No. Race and migration. We're already seeing what's happening there. Obama's brought in millions of Muslims, and they're beginning to kill us. They're beginning to rape our boys and girls. Now, I notice I said boys. Boys. You see, homosexuality is rampant in Muslim countries. Why shouldn't it be? They don't have a God. They've got to pretend a fake God. They're going to rape our little boys. They're going to rape our young daughters, our wives. And there's millions of them. They're building mosques across America. As far as race, they want race wars between blacks and whites. Don't fall for it. If you're a black man, don't fall for it. They're going to have a Black Lives Matter demonstration in your town. Don't go there. Stay away from it. That will lead to chaos. We don't want black versus white chaos in our cities, my friends. One another thing they wanted was expand the refugee program. Expand it. Wow. They say more HB1 visas. HB1. That's where all the high-tech people come in. If you got a computer engineer and you're paying him $80,000 a year, well, fire him. Hire one from Pakistan or Indonesia for $40,000. Get him a HB1 visa. Who's for something like that? All of the high-tech companies, they want to hire all their people in and pay them half what they're paying American computer engineers, laser scientists, and so forth. That's why we're seeing all these foreigners come in from China, from Pakistan, from India, from Indonesia. They're all coming in. They're all getting these HB1 visas. And guess who's the biggest proponent of the biggest pusher of this are the Jews. They own all these companies and they want cheap labor. They're going to lay off the Americans. They're going to hire these foreigners. They're going to come over here on green cards and these HB1 visas. And Mr. Rubio, you know Mr. Rubio? Senator Rubio? What a fake that guy is. Listen, folks, when you go to the voting booth in Iowa and in New Hampshire and South Carolina to vote, say no to Senator Marco Rubio. That guy is a big fake. He is a faker. He's one of the immigration eight. You know, the four Democrats and four Republicans that all got with Obama, tried to ram immigration reform down our throats. They wanted to give amnesty to everybody. Amnesty. He has sponsored a bill that would triple the number of HB1 visas. Man, terrible. Big Brother spying in the military. They want to increase the spying of us by the NSA, the CIA, the DIA, databanks, and so forth. Now, we had this 14 people killed down in San Bernardino. What do they scream out? We need more spying. We need a huge, colossal complex. Give more billions of dollars to the CIA, the NSA, and so forth. No. Don't do that, folks. Don't do that. Seventh, media lies and propaganda. Now, they didn't call it that. They had media support. But media lies and propaganda, that's one of their points. That's number seven. This calls for this plan, Illuminati Vision 2025, the hiring of tens of thousands. Did you get that? The hiring of tens of thousands of government employees to be trolls on the internet. What is a troll? They work for the government. And they go on all of these internet chat pages. And they push the government's program. We need more refugees. Help out the refugees. We need more spying because of terrorism. Oh, look, there's another war going on in the Middle East. That's because of global warming. That's because of climate change. Look, we need to empty our prisons. We're spending too much on these prisoners. Why not let a million of them out and just let them go? Come on, let's do that. These fakers are going on the internet. You begin to see their messages sometime. They'll say, oh, let's elect Hillary Clinton. She's the best candidate. Yeah, there's one. Sure. Media lies and propaganda. Folks, I did a feature article recently called Truth and Lies. Believe me, my friends, we've gone way downhill. The government is the biggest liar there is. The government, by the way, sponsors terrorism. It fights religion. It promotes race wars. And it lies about everything. Lies, lies, and more lies. That's what we have. That's what the government's all about. They say they want to use the social media more. So they're hiring thousands of government people. Their only job is to go online and to promote the government way. They're promoting communism. Tens of thousands of employees. Then we get to the money area. New Fed rules. I don't know what that means. New Fed rules. I'd love to have been a little birdie in the room when they talk about that. New Fed rules. They say the new consumer agency. Did you know there's a new consumer agency? Oh, yes, the Fed now has a consumer agency within it. They're going to take care of consumers that are ripped off. Sure they are. They're going to rip you off is what they're going to do. Culture. Culture. I thought, well, what are they going to do about culture? Well, they say here that movies, entertainment, music, plays, etc. will be shaped for the government propaganda. Boy, I'm seeing that, aren't you? You know, same-sex marriage was approved by the Supreme Court. Within a week, there were all kind of ads on television. You know, two gays pushing this, pushing their little boy in the, goodness gracious. I mean, television now, it's nothing but they're pushing race. They're pushing homosexuality. They're destroying our culture. And right away, Hollywood opened up a new model agency. a modeling agency specifically for transgenders. Of course, Caitlyn Jenner was right there, wasn't he? Oh, yes, there's a government operation for you. There he was. Caitlyn Jenner used to be Bruce Jenner. Transgenders are being pushed. Let me tell you, my friends, there won't be a Miss America. There won't be a Miss USA. They'll say, that's politically incorrect. And that gets to the next area, political correctness. You have a Miss USA? No, 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 no. It's got to be Miss Transgender USA. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're now having talk shows about Miss Transgender. And every comedy, situation comedy on television is going to have a transgender. You wait and see. Is he a boy? Is he a girl? Who knows? He's a transgender. She's a transgender. Politically correct. By the way, change all the bathrooms. They don't want any men and women bathrooms. They should go to the same one. They don't want any little boys or girls bathrooms. They want dirty old men to go in the little girls, and they want filthy. Well, anyway, same dirty old men go in the boys too, by the way. Political correctness. That's what they want. Talk about ruining our culture. Political correctness. Well, I could talk a lot more about all these things, but that's what we're seeing. I understand a transgender movie is going to be, they have it right here. It says culture, Academy Award for transgender. You see, you thought they just chose the best movie, didn't you? No, no, they've got it right here on Vision 2025. They've decided to give an Academy Award to a transgender movie. That's next. I bet you it comes this year. You wait and see. Watch the Academy Awards. Watch who gets the Oscar. It'll be a transgender. I guarantee it. I don't guarantee it. I don't guarantee anything but God. I'm pretty sure of it. Watch for the transgender awards and the crowd there. All they will cry and go, ooh, I'm so glad they've been discriminated against for so long. My goodness. So here you have your 10-point plan. In every facet of life, you're going to be controlled. They're going to gear everything. They're going to reshape America. They're going to build it into a bureaucratic utopia. It's their 10-point plan. It's Republicans, it's Democrats. What can we do about it? I say secede. I say secede. We need to leave this crummy place. Listen, I'm a patriotic American. I was in the Air Force for 20 years. I earned the Vietnam Service Medal. I went all over the world in Air Force Blue. Nobody was more patriotic than me. Nobody loves this country. I love our Bill of Rights. I love our Constitution. But they don't want to obey the Constitution. They want to get rid of it. They want to cut out your right to own a gun. They want to lie to you. There's climate warming. There's climate change. They're lying. You Christians, you can't be exclusive now. They're lying to us. These terrorists, you got to admit these Muslims in. Wow, you won't be America. It won't be the same country anymore. It won't be free if you say no to the Muslims. They're lying. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those, my friends, are the words of Jesus Christ. This is Tex Mars. Great being with you again. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.